This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
The opening half hour today being brought to you by our great friends at NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Start your journey today. Do yourself a favor. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Neil Coulong in the next hour. This opening half hour. Todd, I don't know if it's possible. Most people go on vacation and come back relaxed. But Matt Cotrillo is a trendsetter. He's one of the few people who comes back from vacation and is angrier.
The tweet's pretty long announcing his call, so yeah, he's pretty wound up.
Oh, jeez.
What happened between Hurts and Sirianni?
I don't know.
Guess we're going to find out.
I mean, I'm trying to think. That's right. I don't care. Okay, so. You have to muster up some care at some point. That's not going to happen. I can't do it. All right. So I guess what we probably need to take a break here right out of the gate, because we need to give him a, you know, we can't give him a short runway. Right? We can't do that. We need to give him like a Harrisburg International Airport runway. So. I do want him at some point to land the plane. He's a scary guy. All right. So we'll come back and we'll hear the rant of all rants in a moment. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
I wonder how many times he said during the week, Mark, stop it. I wonder how many times during the week, Luke, stop it. John Paul, stop it. I can hear him now.
Steve Jones, it is good to be back. How are you, my friend?
Doing great. Great to hear from you. Oh, yeah, hold on. Can you hold on 1 second? Oh, look, the Red Sox just stole another base. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I just noticed that, too. Yeah. That was not great this past series, but we'll see how things go after that.
So what, after what should have been a restful vacation, has angered you?
I know. We're piling on 2 weeks of stuff. So I guess I'm going to go in chronological order here and go over things that happened before I left And then things that happened while I was gone, then I noticed a thing or two as I tried to, you know, unplug a little bit down the jersey shore. So let's start with the college football playoff schedule, because I think that came out the week after I was gone. And as exciting as it is to finally have something and know that it's going to be coming next year with the 12 teams, once again, the college football playoff committee still can't get anything right. This schedule is horrendous. I mean, you and I have talked about, and you continue to talk about this all the time, about the amount of work it takes for team managers and coaches and staff to get game week schedules together, especially when it's an off week. You got games on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and they're all not the same at all depending on what round you're in. So, once again, we're already asking a lot of coaches and coaching staffs with the way the whole college sports landscape is going with NIL and with everything heading toward paying players and things like that to give stipends for players. And now when it comes to the college football playoff, the actual game itself is going to be harder than ever to plan during the postseason, because obviously you don't know if you're playing the next week. So 1 week you'd be playing on a Wednesday, 1 week you'd be playing on a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, whatever. So you're asking these coaching staffs and these training staffs to plan out literally 5-6 weeks in advance of what could possibly happen or may not happen. I mean, this is just ridiculous to have these types of games. I mean, I get it. It's all about TV. You're trying to battle the NFL, whatever. I get it. I mean, but at some point, you're just going to have to see what happens, because if you're asking all these players and coaches and teams to be worried about a game on Wednesday, then maybe have to play on a Thursday next week and then on a Friday. I mean, that's just going to hurt the product regardless of when you put it on TV and what it's up against. So, I mean, once again, it's like one step forward, two steps back, the old Nickelback song, that's the comic cliche. But that's literally what this is that we're seeing with the College Football Playoff Committee. I mean, as exciting as it was, at the same time, it was frustrating to see how convoluted a playoff schedule that is.
Well, the problem is the NFL. The NFL won't give them anything.
I get that. I know some of it's out of their fault, but I just think at some point, just have to cut your losses and see what happens, because either way, it's going to affect the product.
Well, but here's the problem that you have. The problem that you have is, I mean, just take the opening weekend. You're taking one game on Friday night and three on Saturday. Well, that's 2 weeks after the championship games are played, so that's a logical spot to put it. But what does the NFL do? They put two games on that Saturday, and those are going to be the four teams that will play on Christmas Day. All right, so now what's the next thing? Well, you get New Year's Day. All right, you do get that. So you're going to play one game New Year's Eve and three quarterfinal games on New Year's Day. That's going to work out fine. But the problem is the next weekend, the NFL has Saturday, Sunday, and Monday with playoff games. So that's why they're going to put one semifinal on Thursday and one on Friday, because those are the 2 days that are open and available where they can have the window to themselves, because the NFL took the other 3 days.
Yeah, it is a good point. And a lot of this is on the NFL, too, because when you took it from the NFL side of things, as I've said time and time again, to Roger Goodell and the owners, leave well enough alone. We don't have to have games on Wednesdays, even though it's Christmas Day. We don't have games on Christmas Day, period. Thanksgiving Day is the day for the NFL. Christmas, it is what it is. If you want to give it to the NBA, fine, or college football, the bowl games, you know, whatever, that's fine. I personally don't like the NFL on Christmas, because I just want to spend time and worry about just being with, you know, my family, whatever, on Christmas. But that's just a personal preference on my part. I don't mind the Thanksgiving Day games as well. But everything else, as I talked about, with the Eagles opening up in Brazil on a Friday and everything else in the NFL, but the Monday wild card game, I was never a fan of when they went to that a couple of years ago. I mean, this is a lot of it. It does come back to the NFL, and I don't know how you solve it, and if anybody can work with each other. But obviously, the NFL sent a middle finger, if you will, I think, to the rest of the sports world, saying that we're the king, which is true. But at the same time, they don't need to go out and flex their muscle this way. They already had that muscle to begin with. So, yeah, this is definitely the Adam Gase fault, too, which is a little frustrating.
Well, it's frustrating because who feeds the talent to the league? Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison walk into the league already as established names to the American public because of college football. The NFL doesn't have to market them. They don't have to do it. It's already been done for them. And you would think that
Correct.
There would be a little bit more of a grace on the NFL's part in terms of how they handle it. And they don't. They just do whatever they darn well please.
Yep, absolutely. And speaking of the NFL being in Brazil on a Friday, that actually is a perfect segue to my next point, which I was a little bit fired up about this week. So going back to the London series with the Phillies and the Mets, as I've said before, I'm not a big fan of the four major sports playing overseas. I think it's a waste of time, and it's a lot of stress on the players and coaches that are involved. All right, now, when it comes to the but if you're going to do this to these teams, at least give them some common courtesy and give them an easy schedule coming back to overseas or coming back to the stateside when you're trying to get back to the time zone change and all that kind of stuff. It's not easy for anybody to do, let alone an athlete, to come back and have to go play another game the next day. For the Mets, you look at their schedule, they got a chance to have a 6-game homestand when they go back from London. The Phillies, what do they get? They get to go to Boston, which is never easy, no matter how good or bad the Red Sox are. Then go to Baltimore, and that's a tough series for them right there. And then they finally get to come back home. So you're talking about a couple different time zones that the Phillies had to be in just to play three series on the road. I mean, that is ridiculous. If you're going to have these teams play overseas, at least give both teams a common courtesy of the same type of schedule coming back and allow them both to come home to play. That's my biggest thing. The fact that the Mets got a 6-game home series and the Phillies had to go on the road to play two very good and or tough teams with the Red Sox and the O's on the road before they come back home. I don't care if it's Baltimore, a close proximity to Philadelphia with Baltimore and Boston. But regardless, those teams should be home if you're going to inconvenience them the way we have and make them play overseas. At least give them that common courtesy and just be consistent about that. The fact that the Mets got a home series, or got a homestead, and the Phillies had to go on the road, that to me is total bogus.
So, you know what the funny story is about the Phillies and the Red Sox? The Phillies beat the Red Sox back to Boston. The Red Sox had some plane trouble in Chicago and couldn't get back. And the Phillies actually got to Boston before the Red Sox did.
At least there's that, I guess.
Well, welcome to the world of
travel. I really think it affected their play. I guess not so in Boston because they played well, but I think they were a little tired in Baltimore. I really do.
And the Red Sox, too. The Red Sox.
I think that was part of the problem of having their struggles lately.
Well, the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 from the Phillies.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, well, there you go. Exactly right. They lost 2 out of 3 in both series. And the starting pitchers themselves struggled. What do you think the number one reason is? Because they didn't play well of all those games. They're tired. They're in 5,000 different time zones trying to get back to play to promote the product that's not going to really grow in Europe. I don't care if it's baseball, basketball, football, whatever. Soccer is the name of the game over there. Whenever any other sport comes over there, it's cute. They'll be riled up about it for a couple of days. I know there's fans overseas that may be moved from the United States over there because of work or lifestyle, whatever. Okay, they're the minority. But the majority of people over there, they only care when they're over there. Then when they don't, they might see highlights on Sky Sports every once in a while and tune in. That's it. Then they go back to watching the Premier League. It's just not worth it for these teams and any of the four major sports. It's just not. I'm sorry.
They all need a vacation.
They can use a vacation in the off season.
I'm kidding.
It looked like the Phillies players had a nice time with their wives and their families and stuff. But they still had to work. They still had to go play a game in London. Then they still had to fly back and go play 2 straight series on the road. That's not a vacation to me. That's like half a vacation, if that. Do that in the off season.
What's next?
And finally, there's just been a whole lot of nonsense And I get it. You and I have talked about this in terms of media coverage, especially when it comes to the NFL, because everybody's trying to get clicks and this and that. But all this nonsense and all this hysteria between what the relationship might be between Jalen Hurts and Nick Sirianni, because I think Jalen Hurts just simply misspoke and for whatever reason just was lost focus and was caught off guard by the question about how Nick Sirianni's handling the thing with the changes and being a CEO-type head coach and his input in Kellen Moore's offense and things like that, and it wasn't a great answer, and it wasn't. But this is why this is this dumb, because let's just think about what's happened here. Yes, we had the disastrous end for the Eagles season, but then you had all of the offseason to work out any differences that maybe the quarterback and the head coach had, because there were some reports that there were some riffles in there. But let's face it, you just paid Jalen Hurts one of the highest contracts right now for a quarterback. And what sense would it make? Now, again, Jeffrey Lurie has done some nonsensical decision-making sometimes, and so has Howie Roseman. But really, what sense would it make to pay your quarterback that amount of money and then make him play for a coach he doesn't like or doesn't want to play for? I mean, that's just number one. And then secondly, let's say there is actually something going on between Sirianni and Hurts. Whose fault is that? Jeffrey Lurie, for not seeing that in the first place, when I think he lost the locker room when the Eagles were in their collapse of a disastrous end of the season. I still don't think Nick Sirianni should fully be back, because if you have to come to a point where the guy had total control of the offense and all of a sudden he's like the CEO-style coach and just going to hand off his offense to Kellen Moore, who's very good at what he does as a coordinator, I mean, there's something to me that still doesn't quite fit. And I think is one of my biggest question marks for the Eagles going into the 2024 season. I don't care what about a talent they have on offense and whatever they have on defense. The key to the 2024 Eagles season I'm looking at next year is, can guys step up on defense? All the question marks that they have at linebacker, are those guys going to play the way they are? Can they stay healthy on offense? Because if they are, it's going to be deadly. And then thirdly, is Nick Sirianni going to stay out of his own way? And I'll tell you what, I'm not totally confident in all three of those keys that I just mentioned, especially the last one when it comes to Nick Sirianni. But in terms of what's going on right now, if there truly is something going on, this is nothing on the quarterback whatsoever. This is fully on Jeffrey Lurie for not realizing that and being stubborn and sticking with this guy after everything that happened in the regular season at the end of last year. It is not on the quarterback whatsoever. And I truly think that he misspoke because, again, let's not forget, Jalen Hurts is a coach's son. He knows to give the coach respect regardless, even if you may have some differences. That's the way he's built. He's not built to be a diva. I really believe that, sincerely. There's some guys that you still question about, but Jalen Hurts, I really don't think so. So, to me, this is a non-story. This is especially in Philadelphia right now because the Phillies are doing so well. The Sixers are worthless. The Flyers, we don't know where they're at right now. And the Phillies are obviously dominating. So this is what we come up with here. Stop. There's nothing wrong, at least I think right now, there's nothing wrong with between the quarterback and the head coach. But if there is, it's on the owner's fault, not the quarterback. Leave the quarterback alone. And sometimes I just think the media, in Philadelphia especially, but I think just media in general when it comes to their teams, just need to leave their teams alone until there's stuff to talk about. Talk about.
So reading between the lines, Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy are better at this than the Eagles are.
I think to a point.
One of the worst things you can do as an organization is panic. The worst decisions are made when you panic. The Eagles did not have a strong finish to last season at all. Don't panic. They brought in Saquon Barkley. They weren't panicking. They upgraded the team.
Well,
Well, I'm glad to see you're back and relaxed from vacation. Like I said, I could hear you on vacation. Now, Luke, stop it. Mark, stop it. John Paul, quiet. I can hear you now. Nothing like rest.
Especially trying to keep sand out of everybody's hair.
Oh, that was the suit at the holiday party.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I should tell Matt not to do the segment while standing in the sun when it's 98. Ooh, he was hot today. This half hour brought to you by our great friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. You have a multitude of insurance needs: auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. I've just touched on some. They'll take care of all those insurance needs for you. They'll make sure you're fully insured, and they will make sure that they do everything they can to save you money. They'll update policies. Customer service means everything to the great people at Purdy Insurance, and they are great people. Great people who are great pros. And don't forget about the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. Get your team together now. It's always a fun day, and we will be there for that. One quick update before I get to the Celtics, and that is on Terrence Shannon of Illinois. We talked about him going through the combine. We talked about it going through the season, that he was accused of sexually assaulting a woman back on September 8th when Illinois football played at Kansas in Lawrence. He went to trial, and he was found not guilty on all charges. And witnesses for the defense included Kansas center Hunter Dickinson, former Jayhawk Kevin McCullough. They both testified that they did not witness Shannon acting inappropriately that night. So Shannon was found not guilty, and now he can go into the draft on a week from tomorrow, next Wednesday. So we told you we'd keep you up to date on that story. We've done that and found not guilty. All right. So, the Celtics. 18th NBA title. For them. They're all different. Also, the maturity of players comes into play, and this is a story about maturity of players and about the ability of management to follow its own instincts and ignore the outside noise. Perseverance. So let's talk about the perseverance part first. The Warriors were very much like this. The Warriors drafted Steph Curry. They drafted Klay Thompson. They drafted Draymond Green. And in the early years, they lost their fair share of games. But they kept the core together and then built around it, then finally added in. Now they became veterans. And they added in a veteran piece, a winner in Andre Iguodala, who ended up being the finals MVP. But they stayed the course. Bob Myers didn't change up a lot of stuff. You know, he'd bring in a player here, a player there. You know, of course, the Durant signing was the big one. They did that, and they won a back-to-back NBA titles with him. But that was... but they persevered through tough years with that core group. The Celtics did the same thing. They drafted Jaylen Brown in 2016, third overall pick. In 2017, they drafted Jaylen Tatum, third overall pick. Each time the Sixers and the Lakers drafted in front of them. I mean, the Sixers and the Lakers both could have had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, but didn't take them. And the Celtics kept doing well, getting to conference finals, got to the NBA finals against Golden State in 2022, but lost in six games. Okay. And and there were calls along the way. This is the part about ignoring the outside noise. You need to break up Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. And to the credit of Brad Stevens, he trusted his own instincts and his own basketball eye and said, no, we're going to put different players around them that bring different skill sets to the table. Because Malcolm Brogdon brought about the same skill set. Marcus Smart brought about the same skill set. You know, and he said, no, we need to move them. Now, remember, the Milwaukee Bucks made the decision that they felt to get a championship, they needed Damian Lillard and not Drew Holiday. So they dealt him to Portland. The Celtics, in turn, took Brogdon and dealt him to Portland and got a different player in Drew Holiday. Winner, gutty, does all the little things to win games for you. And that was one of the keys to the win last night for the Celtics. I mean, what caused it to be a blowout? What caused it to be a blowout was that the Celtics, of course, hit shots, but they out-rebounded them at both ends of the floor. And any time there was a loose ball, 8 out of 10 of them, the Celtics got. And a guy like Holiday does stuff like that. So does White. They picked him up from San Antonio a couple years ago. Big time pickup. And then they made the deal with Smart that eventually landed him Kristaps Porzingis. One quick note, by the way, Penn State's Lamar Stevens gets a ring out of this. He spent two-thirds of the season with the Celtics. He's going to get a ring. But, so they didn't listen to the outside noise. Oh, they made changes, but they kept their top two players together and they put the different skill sets around them to compare to what they had before. You know, Derek White, Drew Holiday may not be stars, but they're really good at what they do. Porzingis probably is a star. And they, you know, remember, they did most of this playoff with him hurt. And, you know, and then they drafted Pritchard. They picked up Sam Hauser. I mean, they did a good job, Brad Stevens, with a good eye for talent, and put the team together. Now let's get to the maturity part of it. The stat that should tell you everything about the maturity of 26-year-old Jason Tatum and 27-year-old Jaylen Brown is not in how many points they scored last night. I think Tatum had, what, 33 or something like that. Brown at 20, whatever. He was the finals MVP. The stat that should tell you everything about their maturity, 17 assists. Tatum had 11 assists last night in the biggest game of his life. He had 11 assists. Yeah, he scored. But if somebody had a better shot, he made sure they got the ball so they could take it. He didn't let ego drive him where, okay, this is my team. I got to take the game over. Nope. He put the ball, let's say, nine times out of ten, in the right spot to score. And sometimes the right spot to score was him. But if somebody else had an opportunity, he found them. Brown, same thing. He had six assists last night. That's the maturity part of it. There's no, you know, one of the deals that we talk about too often on talk shows or in stories that you read is it's X's team. It's Y's team. It's like, how about, like, let's emphasize the last word. How about team? Celtics play like a team. Al Horford's a pro's pro. I've said that for years on this show, pro's pro. And what's frustrating, I'm sure, for Sixers fans is the what it could have been. Horford was a Sixer at one point. Drew Holiday was a Sixer at one point, and they could have drafted both Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. What could have been? But when the outside world was saying you had need to split those two up, Brad Stevens said no, and he said, I'm going to put different parts around them compared to the same guy at three other positions. Worked. Now, you have to stay injury. Yeah, look, you have to be fortunate. You have to stay injury free. You have to get hot at the right time. The Celtics were hot almost all season. They had pressure on them all season, too. It was either win this whole thing or it's called a disaster for them. Well, they ended up playing 101 games. They won 80 of them. From day one of the regular season to game five of the finals, the Boston Celtics were the best team in the NBA in 23-24. They were the best team. In fact, not even by a little bit, they were the best team by a margin. Now, does that mean they repeat next year? Nope. New year, new start. Okay? They don't allow you to have a bank where you say, hey, look, we won 80 games last year. We need to withdraw five. Nope. You'd start all over again. You have to go through the grind all over again. Are you going to be as fortunate with injuries? We'll see. Are you going to be as fortunate with chemistry? We'll see. You don't know. Nobody knows.
How many of these guys do you see the Celtics bringing back, Steve?
I would guess, I think contract-wise, I think they can bring them all back. Horford's already coming back. I know that. Tatum and Brown are already set.
Brown's about to be the highest paid player in the NBA when his extension kicks in.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care how much money these guys make. I always find that stuff to be so what. It's all about can you put it together and win. How many of these guys? I think they can bring the whole group back. I think they're at that point where they can.
I think they have to pay Holiday. And
well, but I'd pay Holiday. Holiday wins.
So can they pay Holiday, though? Because him adding a second championship, he's one of two players in the last 4 years to have multiple championships. Someone's going to offer him a lot of money.
I'm sure they will. But, you know, it also depends on... Well, first, I think the Celtics actually have some cap room because of the ways their contracts are structured.
Yeah, they do. Because Brown's contract is still... you know, relatively low for him until the extension kicks in, but I don't think that's for another 2 years or so. So until then, they have money to spend.
Right. I mean, so they've got, I mean, they can do it.
Yeah.
And Horford already, they already know Horford's coming back. He's already said that. And then, I mean, Porzingis is going to need surgery, by the way, for his injury. He's going to need surgery. So. And then you go from there. I mean, that's. I mean, Tatum and Brown already have contracts. Horford's back. Derek White's coming back. Pritchard, I think, is coming back. Hauser's coming back. I mean, the guy you wonder about is Holiday, but I think they've got cap room to keep him. But, you know, you would expect, like, the Knicks to be better because Randall got hurt during the season. The Knicks were riddled with injuries. I had no idea. The Sixers have so many holes. And Milwaukee, just because they acquired Damian Lillard to go with Middleton and Giannis, those guys got hurt. Giannis got hurt. I mean, again, you've got to be able to stay healthy to do this. And remember, Denver had a great year a year ago. Same thing. Core nucleus all back. Porter's back. Jokic is back. All right, Murray's back. Denver looked really, really good. It's hard to do it all over again because people don't take into account that everybody starts 0-0. It's a fresh start. You have to earn what you get. You have to earn everything. And that's the way it is. You just have to earn it. And you have to catch the right breaks. Now, Porzingis, they're probably not going to have him to start the season. They said the recovery process for him is probably, quote, a few months. But he's going to get it done right away, I guess.
Knowing him, that means till December, at least.
Yeah, so, I mean, he missed 10 games earlier in the playoffs. Look, he got out there, gave him 16 minutes off the bench. He said he was asked if he was concerned about worsening his injury by playing. He said, yeah. But he played. He says, I think something could have happened for sure, especially compensating now on the other leg. There was definitely some added risk, but I didn't care. I was like, I want to give everything I can and then fix it after if I need to.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's a time to risk it, it's now. That's for sure. I could understand earlier in the playoffs, but now's the time. You got the rest of the offseason to rest. That's why the Celtics didn't pull their players last night until there was 2 minutes to go. I mean, they were up by, 28 with 3.5 minutes to go, and they were full court pressing. They came out of a timeout full court pressing, up 20-something.
Yeah. And then as for Dallas, I thought Irving playing in Boston gets in his head. He has not won Kyrie Irving since he was dealt to the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving has not won a single game on the team he has been with in Boston since the trade.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, how can it not get to your head? I mean, you're watching, even on the TV, you can hear some of the stuff those Boston fans are doing.
It's rude.
It's ridiculous.
It's rude. It's wrong and it's rude.
In Mike Breen's words, it's a disgrace. He must have heard some really crazy stuff last night.
Well, it's because that's when Irving made a great effort play, dove into the stands to get a loose ball.
Yep.
Right? And then it was right next to them, so they heard the people like right next to him yelling stuff. That's just totally inappropriate and wrong.
Right.
But Doncic, America got to see actually him play and what he does and doesn't do. Right? Here has been the knock on Doncic for years. Ultra talented, makes big shots, shoots, but he's, quote, a ball hog, to use a playground expression. He's a ball hog. Well, guess what? You watch them play in the Dallas series. Whenever he touched the ball, when did he pass it? When? And then on defense, the Celtics were relentless and attacked him over and over again. As soon as they got the matchup with him, they crushed him. Who knows how many points he gave up in the series? And then here's my favorite, where I don't understand press conferences and how they go. You got to think your way through it a little bit here. When Jason Kidd made the statement about Jaylen Brown, you brought it up, right?
I'm sorry, what? The case between Brown and Tatum?
Yeah. And he said Jaylen Brown's the best player in the Celtics, trying to get into Tatum's head. And, that really worked. Tatum at 33. But nobody asked the follow-up question. If you think Jason Tatum isn't the Celtics' best player, why is it in the first two games, because at this point he made the statement, I think, going into game three, why is it in the first two games you've tilted your entire defense toward Tatum?
Tatum, I think, has...
No, again, why did Dallas tilt its entire defense toward Tatum?
You mean like hone in on him, focus on him?
Tilted it. I'm talking at that side of the court, they're going in that direction. They're running a double at him.
Yeah.
Okay, you watch the game. They are tilting their defense toward Tatum. That's the question you asked Jason Kidd. Okay? I'm watching the game. I'm going, okay, well, for a guy who says the other guy's better, how come he's tilting his whole defense toward this guy? I'm just watching.
Oh, no, I truly believe Jason Kidd feared Tatum more. He probably just said that to play some mind games.
Oh, he did, but I'm saying... That's the follow-up question you ask in the press conference.
Yeah, they should.
Instead of asking, hey, did you guys have a fun off day? Did you guys get lobster? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's... okay, I'm glad you showed up at the press conference. You could have asked that question. That would have been an intriguing thing to find out from the coach.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see what he'd say to that. I think we all know, as well as Jason Kidd knows, that Tatum's a more dynamic player. And can go off.
They're both great players.
Yeah.
So he's trying to pit one against the other. So he makes that statement. I asked that question.
Yeah.
Just to see how he's going to react to it.
I don't know if he'd have an answer to that.
All you got to do is watch the game. If you watch the game, you can see, and of course, I've watched a billion games, especially up close and personal. And you should try to go, okay. Okay, his actions don't match up with his press conference statement.
No. Well,
just want to make sure I got this right over here. Okay, just want to make sure we got it right.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah? Okay, I'm just asking for friends.
No, yeah, he's... yeah.
And he's a really good coach, by the way.
You think?
Kidd? I think Jason Kidd's a really good coach. You can't go on the road and win at Los Angeles against the Clippers. You can't go on the road and win against Minnesota, beat them three times up in Minneapolis like that when everything's on the line. He is a very good NBA coach. Right. Very, very good.
I think as far as strategizing goes, yeah, because he was a great player. But if you're watching his in-game adjustments and his in-game coaching, obviously I'm not, I can't say anything about this because I don't know as much as Jason Kidd. But he made some adjustments that I questioned. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, let me put it this way. Let me tell you one adjustment he made in the Oklahoma, in the, was it?
The Thunder series?
The Oklahoma City series.
Yep.
They started taking Holmgren and putting him in the corner to get him away from Derek Lively. So Lively was going out to then get him. And then Oklahoma City ran a series of stuff where now the lane's wide open and Oklahoma City's scoring and scoring.
Yeah.
Kidd adjusted and went zone, put Lively back in the middle, and let Holmgren stand out there and do whatever he wanted. Right? That's an in-game adjustment. So, and I thought that was one of the better coaching moves I saw during the postseason.
Did he make that adjustment mid-game, or was it from one game to another?
Oh, no, it was mid-game.
Yeah, no, that's solid then, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's well done.
All right.
I know you're not a fan of the MVP conversation, but did they get it right last night with Brown
sure.
and Tatum?
Yeah, sure. Brown was great. Okay. Yeah, he was great. He deserved it. He earned it, in my opinion. And it's great. I thought he was, all the way through. When you think about the total playoff, not just the points Brown scored, but what he did defensively. Because remember, his primary responsibility was Doncic
right.
in the finals. Then you look at other series, the number of block shots that Brown had during the playoff and the number of block shots he had from behind where he hustled his backside back to make plays. I thought Brown had really an outstanding all-around playoff. He earned the Eastern Conference Final MVP. He earned it. You're in the finals MVP, deserved it. And the bottom line is he is and his running mate Tatum each have rings. So
I agree.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break. Neil Coulong next half hour. This half hour has been brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in summer. Go to purdyinsurance.com on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When car repairs get difficult.
Well, I...
I just don't know.
Me neither.
We get good. Sunbury Motors. More than quality new and used cars, Sunbury Motors specializes in complicated auto repair diagnosis. They can handle intricate repairs and even complete auto body with service open Monday through Friday, 7 till 4. And Sunbury Motors has made simple repairs easy. Maintaining your vehicle is necessary. Finding the time to do it is difficult. Welcome to Sunbury Motors Quick Lane. Just walk in or call ahead. Relax in their remodeled waiting room with Wi-Fi, beverages, and snacks. Will Sunbury Motors factory trained techs take care of your oil change, tire alignments, brakes, and inspections. Quick Lane, 6:30 to 6, Monday through Friday, Saturday, 6:30 till 2. Sunbury Motors, Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. We take the out of auto repair.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.